Turn with me in your copies of God's Word or in the Pew Bible before you, page 791, to the book of Haggai. Book of Haggai, chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Which will be the text for our sermon this morning. Give careful attention, as you did a moment ago, to the reading of God's most holy word. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. And the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message, "I am with you," declares the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the month, in the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Wow. Do you remember that sermon last week? That was on the verge of obnoxious, wasn't it? Wasn't that just over the top and forceful? Our young people might say, "Why you got to be so rude? Why you got to come at me like that? Why are you all up in my grill?" Perhaps that's what a typical congregation might think after a sermon like that. But good thing for you, Sterling, that you're not a typical congregation, right? We saw the promises of God, that God had laid out this time for his people nearly a century before. It was very clear what God's will was for his people in this time, by even naming names, those who would be holding political office at the time that God's people should act. We saw the pretext of the people. We saw their comfort in paneled homes. Brother Kilgore has said most of those homes must have been built or remodeled in the 1970s because they had so much paneling in them, right? We all remember the paneling phase. What were we thinking during that time? But here they said, our houses need to be nice. Our houses need to be built up. Our houses need to be taken care of. And we said, we don't know why exactly. Maybe they looked at the building supplies and said, you know what, home lumber's looking a little sparse. Let's get our home set up so we don't succumb to the elements. Then we'll set up the house of the Lord. But at any rate, it's not time to act. We saw the prevailing of truth. We saw how the message of the prophet came in force, not just to the people and not just to the priests, the pastors of the day, but also to the politicians, the civic leaders. It's time to take care of this task that the Lord has given us to do. And we saw the poverty that comes from self-reliance. We saw the priority of the church in our lives. But what of it? What is the end result of the harsh word that comes? The ending of our New Testament reading this morning. Should the Lord come at us with a rod or with gentle, loving words? What comes of the rod? What comes of the more harsh word? Children, what happens when your parents are forced to take on the mean voice? Their stern tone, their leather belt. Young people, what of those moments when you are called out for your self-absorption in the midst of family living your raunchy music in the midst of pursuing holiness? Do you, as God's prophet, commanded God's people, pause to consider your ways? It seems, as we come to verses 12 through 15 of chapter 1, that God's people did take pause. That God's people did stop to consider their ways. They heard the voice of God's prophet. They repented and changed their ways to fit the path that had been laid before them by the Lord in the prophecies of the century before. We see this firstly because of the piety of the people. Zerubbabel and Joshua and all the remnant of the people did what? They obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. Some older translations might say, and they feared before the face of the Lord. But the piety of the people tells us that they did hear the call to stop and consider their ways, and the resultant echo to change their ways to align with the will of God. This comes in Jesus' simple words in John 14. If you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments. What we do establishes outside of ourselves what we think and what we believe on the inside of ourselves. Scripture is chock full of do what I tell you to do. Obey me. Keep my commands. Follow the will of the Lord. Obey the commands of the Lord. Come back. Come back. Do what he says. This is experiential religion. Love isn't rooted in feeling. It's rooted in doing. And the feelings follow appropriately. Why are the commands of God that we read week in and week out from the Old Testament and the New Testament full of what we should do? Not necessarily what we should feel. Those of you who are married know that you can get away probably sometimes for quite a while with not feeling like fulfilling your responsibilities in the marriage, in the family. But when does your spouse or your children sit up and take notice? Not necessarily when you stop feeling, because we can put on a happy face. But when you stop doing. When you stop fulfilling your responsibilities to one another, we stop and say, wait a minute, there might be a heart issue here. The same goes for your employment or extended family. Whatever relationships in which you find yourself, the piety of the people was proved out because they listened and obeyed. They sought to keep God's word, to do what he had commanded. And the beauty of this, we should pray for such a day in our own nation. It wasn't just the church and the leaders of the church, the civic leader as well, rallied to say, we should obey the word of God. What a beautiful moment this must have been. And what comes next then is the peace of God. Is the peace of God. When I work through this text, I think of blacksmithing. I've never blacksmithed. My father-in-law has. But you can get on YouTube and see plenty of videos about it. And you have to heat up the metal and heat it up and heat it up and heat it up till it is glowing hot. And then you put it on that horse and you pound it and you pound it and you pound it. And that was last week's message. Heating you up and pounding on you to try to shape you some. But as the hammer slams in the opening words of Haggai, the echo comes in the second section of the peace of God. The challenge and the heat and the friction and the pain comes as the prophet who, if he was 70 years old, around the time of the start of his ministry, probably had been part of the problem up until this point. Talk about a challenging place to be in. Have you ever wanted to change a family dynamic, especially extended family? We're only together once or twice a year, and this is kind of how it always goes, and I'd like to see it move in a more godly direction. And what does the enemy come and whisper in your ear? But remember when you've been a part of this, what right do you have to change now? What right do you have to repent and try to lead your family in this? You are part of the problem. Don't think that the prophet of God might not have had that same whispering in his ear. We can assume the difficult, awkward place for him as he responds to God's call to fulfill the office of prophet. But as he does so, and as the people respond in obedience to God, what message comes? I am with you, declares the Lord. This doesn't speak to some sort of human action, therefore God is required, his arms behind his back then to say, okay, you've got me. This speaks to the covenantal nature of God's relationship with his people. He came to them with the difficult word through the prophet. And as they obey, now he comes with the peaceful, comforting word, I am with you. As God's children, we know those times when we feel like we've gotten too far afield. We've gotten way far away from where we should be as God's child. We've disobeyed too long. We've ignored the tugging of the Spirit too long. We've ignored our responsibilities clearly spelled out in Scripture too long. What am I going to do? Am I too far out? God must hate me now. But God's word comes again through the prophet. Fellowship is restored. That Emmanuel, that God with us, is at work. And the peace of God is given to his people. I am with you. I am with you. After the slamming of the hammer comes the ringing of God's peace for his people as they respond in faith. Thirdly, we see the preparation for and prosecution of the work. This is fantastic because they didn't just say, you know what, you're right, we need to do that. Let's form a committee and look at that. Let's spell out a 15-year plan on a self-study of the appropriateness of yada, yada, yada. You've all served in groups. You can fill in the blanks there. After what appears to be 2 or 3 weeks of preparation, they get to work. And they start doing what God has called them to do. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the month, in the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. They prepared for and they prosecuted the work. This should take our hearts and minds to Luke 14. We've been in John 14. Now let's bounce to Luke 14, where Christ says, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation," and remember, that's exactly what the people had done. They had laid the foundation, then they had been frustrated, they had been diverted, and they had given up. "He has laid a foundation and is not able to finish. All who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Christ calls us in our walk with him to consider the cost, to prepare for the labors that he has for us. And my question for you, dear saints, is, for what are you preparing or being prepared? To what work is the Lord calling you? I didn't have this in my notes, but I can look out and say, God is preparing some of you for marriage. I don't have the gift of prophecy. I'm not trying to prophesy for anyone, but I know that rings and furniture have been bought. And God is preparing you for a great work for the sake of the kingdom. And how are you preparing and being prepared for that great work? Now that I've got that out of the way, I can go back to my notes and say, maybe the tower that Christ is calling you to build is the basic work of Christian faith and repentance. Perhaps you have yet to trust Christ. Yes, that is a fruit of the work of the Spirit in your life, but have you felt the conviction of your sin? Have you felt the hopelessness that your future holds? Cling to Christ, hope in Christ, trust Christ. He alone can save you. He alone can rescue you from the fires of hell. Perhaps it's a call of vocation, a tower of a career to which the Lord is calling you. Perhaps, young person, you are being called to the work of the ministry someday. Perhaps you want the ministry and are being called to another vocation. That is more difficult for so many. Prepare yourself and be prepared to do the work the Lord has for you to do, seeking to honor and glorify him in that industriousness. Or maybe it's the call of office. Members, do you feel the call to serve as a deacon or as an elder? Remember, the scriptural requirements are found. They were given to Timothy and to Titus. And if you sense a call to those offices, that's a good thing. Read those, pray over those. By way of reminder, old age is not one of the requirements. We have in our own community the testimony that you can be called at a young age and serve in that to an old age. Let no one look down on you if you happen to be young. But what is keeping you from serving Christ as he has called you? Perhaps you've put off a call to serve in other ways in the church, by way of committees or special projects or in the community in which you live. The gospel presence is desperately needed in community boards and program committees throughout our towns and villages. As education was being discussed in Sabbath school, speaking of taking dominion, think of the spots on school boards at the local level, the state level. Think of the opportunities to get involved in the various organizations in our towns where the gospel voice can be heard and should be heard. But my friends, God's people, as they were returning from their time in Babylon, they got distracted. They got desensitized to what God had called them to do. The signs had been so clear. The doors swung so widely open. Go back and rebuild the house of the Lord. And God's redeemed people went back and they started and then they got distracted. And God sent his prophet to them and to us to say, rise up and build. Continue. Do what God has called you to do. We do not want to do that in haste. We do not want to do that without considering the cost. But we should want to do it as God's people. We should want to finish the ministries that he has carved out for us corporately, in families, as individuals, in the church, and in our communities. Let us respond in faith to the call of God to minister in his name. Let us know the blessing of peace that comes from obeying his word. And let us prepare and prosecute the work that he has for us. Stand with me as we pray. Our God and King, you have given us the fullness of your revelation in your word and in Christ Jesus. You call us not only to be your own, but to labor as your people. Lord, we pray that you would make clear to us in our church and in our families and as individuals what labors you have called us to. Give us diligence and faithfulness to fulfill and finish those labors for the honor and glory of the King. And Lord, if there are those here today discouraged, downtrodden in the work that you have called them to, Lord, that you would build them up, that you would encourage them to continue walking the path that you have laid before them. We pray in Christ's name. In church, let us pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.